2. We'll just dig right back in where we left off. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll review a little bit here at the beginning in case you're visiting with us. And to remind the rest of us where we are. To remind me where we are. Okay. Every day as we drove to church there in Fort Myers, we would pass a church. In fact, it's very close to where Sarah and Joe live, called The Next Level. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to figure out what kind of church The Next Level is. Several years ago, I got on their website because I was curious, and the key word that I found on their first page of their website was exciting. I think five or six times on the first page of their website, exciting. Exciting. It's exciting. Oh, it's exciting. And that's what they're going after. Sarah told us that one of their teenagers who'd grown up in their church had left their church and had gone to the next level and was playing in the band. Now, when you think of band, don't think of our orchestra. Think of a rock band, because that's exactly what it is. It's just hard rock music with Christian words to it. And what a tragedy it is when someone does not hold fast to the standards of the Word of God that they have been taught. Happens all the time. And the Apostle Paul is coming to us in this passage, and we'll see this morning, and he uses the words stand fast, and then he uses the word hold. And we could call that hold fast. And this morning I want to encourage you, as Paul is going to encourage these believers, to stand fast, to hold fast. Not, by the way, in the traditions of men, which we'll look at in a moment, but to hold fast and stand fast on the Word of God. By the way, and I I'm the music director here, but we had another conversation with a man who Joe knows. He's, I think, an assistant pastor at a church nearby. And it's a good, solid church. They preach the Word of God. They're a soul-winning church. They believe all those things. But the music guy said, you know, I just don't see anything specifically in the Bible about music. And I thought, so, now, by the way, if you don't find anything in the Word of God about music, then what should you do? Well, hallelujah, you just use anything you want to use. Rap, rock, country, doesn't matter. And of course, that's what they do. Now, and sadly, there are many, many principles in the Word of God about music that teach that music should glorify God, give a proper reflection of who God is. This is a total rabbit trail, by the way, in case you haven't guessed. And if you go to a church and the music does not give a proper reflection of God, does rock music give a proper reflection of our holy God? It does not. Because rock music in its root, even if you don't have words, is sensual. Is God sensual? No. Okay, that was a rabbit trail. Thank you for enduring that. Now, Paul is writing to these believers and he's saying, look, you folks need to hold fast. You need to stand fast. Not just about music. In fact, music's not the topic here, but it's something near and dear to my heart. And he said, you need to hold fast the Word of God. So let's look at this passage. We'll review a little bit. Verse 13 and 14, we saw him praising God for his work in the past. He said, God has done some things for you in the past. We've already covered this. And Paul had talked to them about the second coming, about the day of the Lord, about all these great things. And now he says, I want to praise the Lord in verse 13 and 14. For look what they are in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Here's the first thing. They were loved of God. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. They were chosen by God through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And verse 14, I want to spend a little time here. Whereunto he called you by our what? By the gospel. Before you can get saved, what must you know? You've got to know the gospel. You've got to know that you are a sinner, that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sin, that faith in Christ leads to salvation. You've got to know that. And he said, you folks heard the gospel, and through the good news of the gospel, you got saved. Aren't you glad the gospel is powerful? I was reminded of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where he talks about the fact that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What a great truth. Powerful gospel. And he said that gospel, when you received it for one purpose. Now, we talk about this a lot, so you ought to know what it is. Why did God save you? To glorify him. And isn't that what the verse says? Look at the verse in chapter 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening to a sermon this week, he mentioned 1 Corinthians 16, 19 and 20, where Paul says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, therefore do what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know why God saved you? So you could glorify God. And we know that process is going on all the time, isn't it? And we often talk about 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We've often talked about the Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make you like the Son of God. Now, that's why God saved you, to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ. How you doing with that? Were you Christ-like this week? Now, we think, well, God saved me so I wouldn't go to hell. Well, that's kind of a byproduct. He saved you so that you could be restored to the original image that we lost at the fall. Now, is that going to happen in this life? Is there ever going to be a day when Gary Seaman in this life is totally like Christ? And you all know me real well, and you're saying, not a chance. Hallelujah. There is going to be a day when I will be totally like Christ. And the Word of God says, for we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I love this verse in Philippians 3:21. He says, who shall change our, anybody know the next word? Blank body. Vile. Isn't that a great word to describe us? Our vile. Okay? It's not vile. I guess it should be vile. How would you say that in the South? Vile. There it is. That vile body. There you go. The vile body, right? What a description, though, of this body. It's vile. Really. But he said he's going to change our vile body to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Wow. Isn't that going to be something? Now, again, I mentioned these folks that we have, these believers in our church, and they are dying from their vile body and sickness in that vile body. But hallelujah, there's going to be a day when they're going to have a new body. They're going to have a glorious body. And if you're a believer, Paul is trying to encourage you with his great truth. Yeah, there's trouble in the world. There's difficulty. There's trial. The flesh is wicked. The devil is powerful. The world is trying to make you conform to it. But remember this, folks. God saved you to change you, to make you like him. And there's going to be a day, hallelujah, when you leave this old vile body and you're going to have a new body and you're going to be like Christ, perfectly like Christ. And we will glorify him for all eternity. Okay? Now, let's look at the next verse, verse 15. What's the first word in verse 15? Ah, so what does that mean? All right. Because of what we just talked about, right? Therefore, brethren, God's done all these great things for you, okay? He loved you, he called you, he chose you, he sanctified you, you got the gospel, you got saved so you can become like him. And therefore, brethren, what should we do? Stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So secondly, we see the perseverance for God's work in the present. He's talked about what God did in the past. Now he's saying, right now, you need to persevere. You need to hold fast. You need to stand fast. And I like that word stand fast. It's found 8 times in the Word of God. Usually translated stand fast, a couple times translated stand. Here's a great one. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. And that's what Paul's talking about, folks. We as believers today, we need to stand fast. You've got the right position. And this is Paul talking to them. Look, he said, I gave you the right position, the second coming. Now you've been influenced by people who are lying, deceiving you. Stand fast. Stand fast. Don't be moved. And then he says the word to hold, and we could translate that to hold fast. It's found 50 times in the Word of God. And it's always talking about laying your hands on someone and holding them. Here's a verse where it is used in Revelation 22. And he, an angel, laid hold on the dragon. That's the word, to hold fast. He laid hold on the dragon. Can you see that? This angel, I don't know if it was Michael or Gabriel or who it was, but lays hold on the devil and throws him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And he holds fast on that guy, and he's bound during the millennium. This week, I've already mentioned, anytime I visit the grandkids, you're going to get lots of grandkids stories. And we went to Target once and to Home Depot once. And I found with these kids, you go once, and boy, you're just done, I tell you what. And Owen has a gift. Anything he can reach comes off the shelf. You know, it's a gift. Nothing goes back on the shelf. Sunday morning after church, Joe has to lock up. So the kids were walking around. They weren't running, thankfully, but they were walking around the church. And Owen came up, and he had 4 or 5 of these little short pencils. And he'd been going to the racks and collecting pencils. All right? So I said, okay, Owen, let's go put these pencils away. Now, again, I don't understand him, but he understood. And we said, okay. I said, right here, buddy, put that pencil. Said, okay, put the pencil back. Put the pencil. We just had a great time. But in the store, that can be a real issue. So I found the answer. I put him up on my shoulders, and I held his hands. Well, he held my hands. And I held him fast, and he held me fast too because he didn't want to fall to the ground. And sometimes he held my hair fast, and he bit my head one time, and he said, this is a really strange head. There's nothing on it. Let me try this out. He thought it was a lollipop, I think. And he would hold fast, hanging on for dear life. And that's the picture Paul has for us, folks. Now, it's interesting what he says to hold fast to. He says, I want you to stand fast and hold fast to the traditions. Whoa, wait a minute, traditions. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 3, the Lord is talking about the Pharisees. And he says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the traditions of the elders. And the Lord condemned them for following tradition. Now, what's the difference? Well, it's interesting. These Pharisees, what was their main goal? To keep the law. Okay. So, in order to keep the law, what'd they do? To make sure they didn't break the law, they made other laws, right? So you've got the Torah, which is the law, and they added to that, and they had a book, not the Torah, the Talmud. The Talmud is the Word of God. And so they had what was called the Mishnah to explain that, and then they had something called the Gemara to explain the Mishnah. All right, and so you got the law of God, and then you got these laws to make sure you don't break those laws, and then you got these laws to make sure you don't break those laws. Okay? If the speed limit is 70, now none of us would do this, but so you make up, you say, you know what, I'm not going to go 60. 60 is fast, I'm going so I don't break the law of 70. Anybody do that? I didn't think so. Yeah, right. Yeah. And we'll have an invitation for all liars at this point. All right. But that's what they did. So they were, their tradition were man-made traditions. And by the way, much of religion today is man-made religion. It's tradition. Where do you find purgatory in the Word of God? It's not there. Where to come? Well, it's tradition. Some pope talked about it, and now it's tradition. They've got it, okay? Paul is not talking about that, though. He's talking about traditions. Notice the rest of the verse. which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. What kind of traditions is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. He said, look, I've given you his epistles. Many of them were inspired by God. They were the very Word of God. And he said, folks, what you need to do is you need to hang on to the Word of God. Now, that's why Paul wrote this book, remember? He said that the second coming, the rapture is going to occur later on the day of Christ, day of the Lord. Some people came along and said, oh, no, wait a minute. It's so bad right now. We're in the day of the Lord. And so he had given them the Word of God, and he said, look, folks, you need to hang on to the Word of God. Now, do we need that admonition today? Their pastor, Strange, that's really his name, Joe and Sarah's pastor is Pastor Strange. What's your pastor like? Well, he's strange. So he was out of town and had me preach Wednesday night. My introduction, I said, you know, we could divide this congregation several ways. We could divide it by gender, by male and female. And then I thought, you know what? We're living in a day when that's confused. You know? I mean, what in the world? Joe and Sarah live on Plantation Pines Boulevard, and maybe it's Plantation Pines Road or something, and Plantation Pines Boulevard runs in front of their house, and there are churches galore on that road. When you pull out of the road, the first thing, in fact, the landmark to tell me to turn is the Hindu temple. A Hindu temple, right there at the end of their street. And right next to that, maybe a quarter of a mile, is the Next Level. And then if you go up the road a little further, there's the Fort Myers Evangelical Free Church. And a little further, they've got the Safe Harbor Community Church. And then they've got the Vineyard Christian Fellowship. Wow. One thing about it, if you want it, you should be able to find it on that street. I mean, you get everything from this to that to everything. Now, folks, Paul is saying, believer, look, you need to hold fast to the Word of God. Now think about what he's saying. He's saying, oh, by the way, let me backtrack just a minute. I was critical of the Catholics for their tradition. But we've got to be careful we don't do the same thing. I think for years in fundamentalism, the Word of God was taught to back up standards or certain things that they would do in those churches. And what has happened over time is we no longer know why we believe. We just believe because that's tradition. That's just the way we've always done it. And even in our circles, we need to be very careful that we don't make man's traditions and ideas and philosophies equivalent to the Word of God. Okay? We need to, I'm not telling you to the whole fast. I mean, here we are, the oldest Baptist church in the state of Tennessee, started in 1779. I'm not telling you this morning you need to hold fast to the traditions of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Okay? No, we need to hold fast to the Word of God. Look, folks, you hold the inspired Word of God in your hands. You have the preserved Word of God. I mean, we have the words of the living God, folks, the book that will give you light for your path. It is all you need for decisions about faith and practice. It's right here in this book. This book tells you what's right, it tells you what's wrong, tells you how to get right, tells you how to stay right. That passage goes on there in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says that the man of God may be perfect or mature, throughly furnished unto every good work. What do you need to be spiritually mature? Well, you need to buy it. You need to go to seminary. Well, that may help, may hurt. You need to go to some seminars. You know, what do you need to be spiritually mature today? Here it is, folks. This is what you need. You say, well, I wanna hold fast. Well, what priority do you put in the Word of God every day of your life? As you make your decisions throughout the week, are you basing them on, thus saith the Lord? Or are we saying, you know what? I really enjoy that. It must be okay. I really like that. No, folks, we need to hold fast. We need to stand firm on the Word of God. And that's what Paul is admonishing these believers. He's saying, look, God has done some great things for you. And folks, if you're a believer today, hallelujah. The men this morning are singing, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. If you're a believer today, hallelujah. Hasn't God done some great things for you? God has done wonderful things for us, and we need to hold fast, be firm on the Word of God. Now, one final thing. He's going to close with a prayer. We've seen the praise for God's work. Secondly, the perseverance for God's work in the present. And look now, finally, the prayer for God's work in the future. Verse 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father. Now he's introducing us to, this is the beginning of his prayer. And he's saying, look, folks, I'm praying for you to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to God, the God who knows all things, the God who can do all things, who is our Father. And again, he's going to go back and talk about what God has done for us, who has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Now, think about those things. We've already talked about the love of God. But think about the fact that this, folks, he said, not only did he love you, but he hath given you everlasting consolation. Now, that's not a word we use much today unless you get second place and you get the consolation prize, you know. What is that word? Give me another word, a synonym for consolation. If someone, I heard it over here. Who said comfort, right? Comfort. All right, good. He said, God has, he's loved you and he has given you comfort. Now, think about before you got saved. The guilt of sin, the misery of sin, your life was just a mess, you had no peace with God, and the moment you got saved, you instantly, through Jesus Christ's blood, had peace with God. And as you walk with him, what do you get in this life? Not only a peace with God, but you get the peace of God. And when you got saved, he gave you the Holy Spirit, who is the paraclete, the one who comes alongside and does what? Comforts us. Wow. He said that's something God's already done for you. And then he said not only that, but he's given you hope. He's given you that good hope through grace. Again, in Ephesians 2:12, he says, you were without God having no hope. Having no hope. And boy, the unbeliever, they are doomed, they are damned, they are dying, they have no hope in this world, they have no hope in the world to come. And the moment you got saved, listen to the hope you got in Jesus Christ. You got a good hope, a blessed hope, a lively hope, a better hope, a glorious hope. Wow. And by the way, remember, the biblical hope is not, well, I hope so, but it is that biblical certainty that these things are going to happen, that God is there to help you. And he said, look what God has already done. And then he's going to pray, and he has two prayer requests. And he said, I'm praying that God will comfort your hearts and that God will establish you in every good word and work. Now, why did they need God to comfort their hearts? Remember the context. What's the context of this whole passage? Yeah, we started out the whole passage, and he said, you're troubled in your mind. Your mind is confused and your hearts are troubled because of this false teaching. And he said, I'm going to pray that God would comfort your hearts. And by the way, folks, where do you get that comfort? Well, obviously we have the Holy Spirit of God, but we get that from the Word of God. I can't remember who I was talking to this week. or maybe I heard, I don't remember where it was, but somebody said, you know, thank God for the promises of God. Well, what brings you comfort? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And then I just want to really emphasize this last point. And he says, and establish you. Establish you. That's an interesting word. It is the word sterizoi. Now, you know that word, don't you? Hopefully you're not on them today unless you're sick. Some of you have been pumping up with steroids, you know. But what are steroids? They strengthen you. And he said, I'm praying that God would strengthen you so that you can stand firm. And Paul is saying, look, look, I know you want to stand firm. Now, look, if I went around the room starting with Mike and Carrie and Jeff, and I said, look, do you want to make it and live for God to the end? What would you say? Sure. What would you say? What would you say? Sure. I had Dad pray for us yesterday before we ate. And he prayed that God would help us to finish strong. Isn't that what you want? I mean, there's not a person here that wants to be an outcast and to fail God and to finish poorly and to deny the faith and deny the word of God and just go out. At least I hope not. If you're here, you need a different message than the one I'm giving. All right? We all want to do that, but what's the problem? Well, there's three problems. What are they? The flesh, the devil, and the world. And you have, I can't believe you guys, sitting here looking so spiritual, you have a wicked flesh. Buddy, especially Buddy. Buddy has got a wicked flesh. Oh, by the way, I do too. And every time you have a decision to make to do right or wrong, what does your flesh want to do? When you want to hold fast to the word of God and do right, what does your flesh want you to do? And then not only do you have the flesh to fight, which is the interior, you've got the devil. And what does the devil want to do? Well, he wants to deceive you. He wants you to fall away. He wants to ruin your testimony. He doesn't want you to finish strong. And not only that, then you got the world pressuring you to conform to itself. So here we are as believers, and we're saying, boy, Paul, I'm like you, buddy. I want to stand fast. I want to hold fast to the things of God, to the work of God, to the way of God. Boy, I want that. I'm 57 years old. I don't know how many more years I have, but hallelujah. I don't want to come to the end of my life, and at my funeral, people say, we know he lived for God until... And then, what a tragic thing. I don't want that. One of my dad's sayings, of course, this is what he prayed, but finish the job. Finish the job. Now, Paul realizes, that's his admonition to them, but he realizes that they're weak just like we are. And so Paul prays, and he says, I'm praying to God that he would comfort your hearts and that he would establish you. He would strengthen you like those steroids so that you have the strength to stand fast to the end. And by the way, aren't you glad? He was praying to one who has the ability to do that. I love Jude verse 24, this benediction that is given at the end of the book. Now unto him that is what? Able. I like that word, don't you? Now unto him that is able to do what? To keep you from falling. Isn't that great? There's one who's able to keep you from falling. And Paul says, I'm praying that God would empower you and help you so you can stand fast, so you can hold fast, so you can finish strong. And by the way, what is the key to this whole thing? That some night you had this wonderful vision and you see something incredible and, right? No. The key is this book, how often? Every day. Every day. Every day. I've often told people, young people, if they want to know the will of God or be in the will of God, it's kind of like driving a car. Tomorrow I'm driving my dad to Charleston to meet my brother so we can meet halfway there. And of course it'll be daylight, so it kind of ruins my, but if we left at 6 o'clock in the morning while it's still dark, which we won't, and I have my headlights on. Do my headlights reach all the way from Great Tennessee to Charleston, West Virginia? That doesn't happen. But as long as I'm not driving too fast, it will show me just enough so that I know which way to turn and which way to go. And folks, that's exactly the way it is in the Christian life. Look, the key is to get in the Word of God every single day, to hold fast today. Look, if I hold fast today, and I hold fast tomorrow, and I hold fast on Tuesday, and I hold fast on Wednesday, and I hold fast on Thursday, what's going to happen by next Sunday? Hallelujah, I'm still holding fast. It's winning that daily battle. And by the way, isn't that what Ephesians 6 is all about? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. All right? So what's that? What's the key to standing? It's the Word of God. Now may the Lord help us right now to say, God, help me to finish strong. Help me to hold fast. Help me to stand fast. God has done great things for me. He's done miracles in our lives. And we just need to say, Lord, I want to stand fast on the Word of God. I want to finish strong. God, help me to do that. And that's exactly what Paul is praying. And I think it involves those two things. One, making up our mind on a daily basis. Today, I'm going to stand fast. Today, I'm going to spend time in God's Word. Today, I'm going to obey the Lord. And if we'll do that on a daily basis, hallelujah, when you turn 95, you'll still be holding fast and standing fast, all right? Lord, we do thank you for this admonition. I need it today. And Lord, help us this week as believers every day to stand fast on the Word of God, to hold fast to the Word of God, that we might finish strong, that we might walk with you, that we might, at the end of time, Lord, still be holding fast to the Word of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.